and we're so thankful for each one of you that's here. And I'll be reading from Acts chapter number 13 on this evening. Acts chapter number 13, and we will do our best to try to be sensitive to the Lord and give you what He's given to us. Some of you may or may not know or know very well of Brother Stennett Ballew, but he had a great, great influence in my life when the Lord took us out of pastoring and put us into missions, and we began to go out and try to raise support. Brother Ballew was always wanting or needing or, well, let me just say this, he stayed on the road about 48 weeks a year or something like that, and he never went anywhere alone. And I don't know, a lot of times his wife couldn't go because of her health, but then everything worked out for a lot of different missionaries. And Brother Ballew pastored for many years, then the Lord put him in evangelism, and as time went on, it got to where he was just preaching Faith Promise missions conferences. And the Lord used him to introduce Faith Promise to many churches. And if you think I'm wasting time telling this, then talk to me after service about it, because I'm going to take the time to do this. And I'll do something, cut something else short. But I feel Brother Blue's with the Lord tonight, but I'm so thankful the Lord let him impact my life. And Brother Ballew would let me drive him many, many times. And we have several churches supporting us tonight, either directly because of Brother Ballew or indirectly because in some way the Lord used Brother Ballew to put us in a certain place. But we're so thankful that the Lord let us cross paths with him. Now, when the Lord put us in missions, I didn't think it was a terrible thing the Lord did to call us into missions. I certainly was not expecting that out of my life. And I had committed in my heart that I told the Lord I thought I'd do that in 4 years as soon as my two kids got finished with school, because my wife was teaching at a Christian school where my children were attending. And what they gave her at that school for teaching was enough to pay for my children to go to a Christian school. And I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world for my children to have got to go. And we checked this school out and all that beforehand. And the thing that sold me on this particular school, one thing, it was out of a local church right there, right around the corner. But they had a tremendous emphasis on, I don't want to say making, but they made those children memorize much portions of the Word of God. And I knew how important the Word of God was in any life, and vital it is to every life, and especially those of a Christian life. And my children continued year after year to win trophy after trophy for memorizing their scriptures. My daughter won best chapel outline more than anybody in the school. What is up with this? She's a girl. Well, and I had to go tell the guy at school sometime, the principal, I'd say, would you please not let my daughter win the chapel outline for 2 months and see, let somebody else have a chance, amen. But as soon as that time was over, he would respect my request. And she just did the best outlines, and that tells me she was paying attention and listening, and things were taking effect in her life. And her and my son both, they memorized all their passages of Scripture. They are grown now, and they are serving the Lord now. Both of them are serving the Lord. My son is an evangelist at the moment, a young preacher, and he's getting to preach in a lot of places. And my daughter has married a man that's involved in full-time missionary work, reaching juveniles around the country in juvenile correctional facilities. And you couldn't ask for much more than that. And now we can probably just get on to the scriptures, because I forgot what I was saying all this. There was some reason I got on this path, but now it's left me as to why I was telling all this. But Brother I remember now it came. Sometimes it comes back, sometimes it don't. You just got to move on. My wife and the Lord, I want to be careful in my choice of words, but the Lord revealed to me that I was not to wait 4 years, that he wanted me to move now. And I cannot explain that, and you cannot explain that unless you've been there, and then you still can't explain it. And he just began to work circumstances into our lives that there was nothing else we could do but surrender to what he wanted at the time he wanted, not the time we wanted. So about that time, the Lord let me cross paths with a couple of different men. And one of them, I knew Brother Blue actually already, but I didn't know that he never went to one of his meetings alone. And I didn't know that he oftentimes didn't have anyone to drive him, and he'd have to start making phone calls and sometimes begging people to drive for him or tell him somebody that was available that could drive for him. I wouldn't give anything in this world. I talked to my wife. I said, Renee, the Lord's moving on my heart to do it now, not in 4 years. And I said, I don't know how we're going to do this, because now every preacher's not this way, and I'm not saying anything against them. We decided before we ever got married that we were not going to be apart from one another ever if the Lord would let that be. Whatever field of service that he put me in, she would be with me. Now, you say, well, what about, I'm not saying anything about anybody else. I'm just telling you what the Lord put in my heart, and it was that wherever I was at, whether I was pastoring or on the other side of the world or in evangelism or traveling, my wife would be with me. The Lord just set that in our heart. We felt it was his will. We very, very rarely in 30 years have been away from one another for more than just a few hours at a time. Usually, you would think we were Siamese twins. If one's there, the other is not far away. The most separated we usually become is if one of us has gone to the grocery side of Walmart and one's gone to the other side of Walmart, and then we probably will talk or text two times before we meet back up with one another. That's just how we are. It's Ricky and Renee Burnett, amen. I am Miss Renee Burnett's husband is who I am, amen. And that is who I am. And so we just felt that was the Lord's will. So now we've got a problem, don't we? The Lord wants me to surrender to missions. I've got to go raise support or else we're going to starve to death, and this ain't going to work out. But yet I knew the Lord wanted us together, and I thought, well, I'm not, you know, I can't go travel by myself and try to raise support. I didn't think that was the Lord's will at all. I just didn't feel in my heart. I would, wasn't long thinking about that and wondering what to do. Brother Blue called, Brother Ricky, are you available to drive me to so and so? And the light flipped on, and my wife and I talked and prayed, and decided while the kids were still in school, if Brother Blue needed a driver, I would make myself available. And that worked out so well in so many ways. And you know what means more to me? And I asked him one time, there's too many things I could say. There's too many things I can say. But I said, why do you let me drive you to these meetings? Or if I'm not with you, why do you always call somebody else? And he said, well, I don't like being by myself. And he said, and I like missionaries, and I like trying to help missionaries. And he meant every bit of that. But and another thing was the accountability of he wouldn't be by himself. And I just liked all this. But the things I learned being around that man day and night, many times for days at a time, spending nights with him and spending all day with him, and the man was 100% ministry. His life was centered around ministry and serving God, and he had a tremendous prayer life. I personally watched him over time. I personally watched him twice a week get down by his bed. He would always throw a pillow down there and put his knees down on it and make an altar out of his bed. And he would pray around the world. And by that I mean he would start in Resaca, Georgia, and pray for, and he would call their names. I don't have time to tell all this, but he would call their names, pastors and their wives, and it would just, I could see him. He was praying, but yet my mind was following this map around the United States of America and all these churches and pastors and their wives. Oftentimes, their children were called by name. And then on Sunday mornings, real early on Sunday mornings, he would pray around the world with missionaries and their wives. Oftentimes their children's names would be called. And you could do the same thing if you had a globe sitting there in front of you and he was praying. You could just spin that globe very slowly and he would work his way to the missionaries that he knew of around, that were around the world, and he would pray for them and pray for their families and pray for their wives. Oh, what an impression that made on me and how it affected me and impacted me. And I didn't mean to take all that time, but I'm glad I did. I feel a lot better getting that off my mind. I said that to say this. Nearly everything I know about, let me say this. And Lord help me tonight to keep my thoughts on track, say what needs to be said. Use me to speak to someone's heart and do speak to my heart in a way that only you can, in Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Have I got that microphone off, on? Is it off? You need it on? Right there we go. It's on, isn't it? I didn't see the light. It's way down in there somewhere, but I hear it. So I hear the light. Amen. If you have been around Brother Stennett Blue a lot or heard him preach a lot on the radio or read a lot of his books, let me just say you'll be familiar with a lot of what I'm about to give to you, all right? But most of what I know about preaching missions is what I got from being around Brother Blue. I never tired of listening to him preach the same messages over and over and over again. I was always like a little baby bird on the edge of the nest. I'd be on the edge of my seat soaking it up. There's some things he preached I wished I could have heard him preach them 100 times, 1,000 times. Some things I never got to hear him preach again just because I just wanted it. I still have a large box of about 100 messages of his on cassette tape. The Lord blessed us here a few years ago to go to a place, and they've become a little bit easier to find now, but it almost became impossible to get a cassette player unless you paid a lot of money for it and ordered it online. But the Lord let us come across the store just a few years ago, and they had some brand new, never been used before, still in the box cassette players. And I bought 3 or 4 of them just because I knew I had those Brother Blue cassette tapes at home that still had some life in them. And you say, did you play them? I did. I think I done wore one of them little tape players out and got the second one out. But I enjoy listening to those messages for my own soul, for my own heart, not listening necessarily to get something to use, but not saying I won't use it or haven't used it or won't use it in the future, but it feeds my soul. And I guess because he preached the Word of God, his stuff was based on the Bible. That's where he learned the principles of faith, promise, giving. And let me preach to you a few minutes here. Acts chapter 13. And we'll begin reading and try to preach to you here just a few things that's on our mind today and a lot of things we'd like to preach. And if the Lord lets us, we'll cover some of these in the next couple of days. But Acts 13, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says these words. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. That's Saul of Tarsus, who that's talking about. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. You say you didn't pronounce any of those names right. You're probably right, but I did the best I could with what I know and the knowledge that I have, all right? And so you teach me after service how to pronounce them correctly, if you would. I'm always willing to learn, and I'm not an unteachable fellow. I try to be teachable, but I did the best I could with how I saw it there. But here we want to use this passage of Scripture tonight. And if I have read my Bible correctly, this is the first time that missionaries have been sent from a church to go somewhere else to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of the first missionary journey of Paul, and it is Barnabas, I believe, that is with him there. And so, isn't that what we read? Isn't it Barnabas? I get now my mind's gone blank again. Barnabas and Saul were chosen. And I want to be just very simple tonight, and probably remind us of some things we already know, but we need this. Some of us have been doing this so long, we forgot what it's all about, and some have never had this preached to them. But let me just give to you tonight Missions 101 is what I'll call it. Amen. Questions and answers about missions, if I could, for just a few minutes here. And number one, what is missions? What is missions? And I'm not going to go through all the things that people think of when they hear the word mission or when they think of missions. There's many things that could be gone through, but I'm going to talk to people that I know that have read the Bible, that understand a few things about the Bible anyway. The people of God tonight know that when you are talking about missions, that you are, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Ricky, I've read my Bible and the word mission's not in the Bible and the word missionary's not in the Bible. You're absolutely right, but just because something is not in the Bible does not mean that there's not principles in the Bible. The word Trinity's not in the Bible, but there is a God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The word Bible is not in the Bible, but we have, if I understand that word, that's the book. Bible is the book, and we have that tonight. The word millennium is not in the Bible. Many words are not in the Bible, but the principle of what they are about is there. And I could go on. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the principle's there and the teaching's there that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return, and that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so there's many things that's not in the Bible, but yet the principles are there, amen? And the teachings are there concerning many of these things. Missions is one of those things that if you were to get the simplest definition of a missionary, or what is missions, or what is a missionary, it's very simply a sent one. A sent one, amen? One that is sent. But what is missions tonight? Missions, when we think about missions, and those of us who know the Scriptures, we're thinking about world evangelism, world evangelization. We're thinking about reaching lost people around this world. That's what missions is. Very simply, it's evangelizing the lost, not only evangelizing them, but missions. From the Bible, it involves more than just reaching the lost. It also involves baptizing them and discipling them and teaching them to observe all things Jesus said that I have commanded them. And that's what missions is. It's reaching lost people. And world missions, world evangelism, involves a team effort tonight. And it involves God. It involves the missionaries. It involves the local churches. It involves, first of all, God calls. The Holy Ghost called Saul and Barnabas. The Holy Ghost spoke to the church and said, "Separate me, Saul and Barnabas." And so the Holy Ghost calls the missionaries. He calls them out of the church, and then the church sends them forth. And as the church sends them forth, they pray for them and they help to meet their needs, whatever they might be along the way. That's what missions is. It's God calling people to go somewhere else to take the gospel to some other place, to
to whatever group of people it might be where God sends them. That's what missions is. God calling people out of the church sending them forth and getting behind them. And as you begin to follow the book of Acts and on down through there, you'll see a lot of patterns begin to develop and take place. They go out, they preach the gospel, they win people to the Lord, they baptize them, a church is established, and they go to another place and do the same thing, and they kind of make a circle, and before it's all over with, they come back right to where they started and give a report of what God has done and what God is doing. And then they set out again, oftentimes going to check on those that they had been with before and then starting new works along the way. Amen. And so that's the basics of what is missions tonight. And that is what the people of God are instructed to do in several passages of Scripture that you're familiar with, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Acts 1, 8. Missions involves the local church sending forth people that God calls out of it, but it also involves the sending church and the supporting churches standing with their missionaries by prayers and financial support. And let me move on tonight. Who is a missionary? That's what missions is, but who is a missionary? In one sense, every child of God is a missionary. We tried to emphasize that to you last night. If you're not trying to reach a lost person, if you don't have some lost people either wrote down on a prayer list or wrote down on your heart, if you don't call some lost person's name out to God in prayer, and if you're not trying to reach out to them, and if you're not weeping over someone because they're going to hell, then don't call yourself a Christian, because you are not. If you are a Christian, then you are trying to reach someone that is lost in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Amen. And I'm not going to re-preach what we preached last night, but in one sense, every Christian is to be a missionary. Someone said every person either is a missionary or they need a missionary. But missionary in the scriptural sense, a missionary is a person who has been sent out by the local church to some particular place in the world for the purpose of carrying out the Great Commission. You say, you just told us that. I told it to you under point number two, all right. I didn't mean to get into all that in point number one. Now we can move on. We know what is a missionary, and we know who is a missionary. Where did missions begin? Where did missions begin? And we hadn't talked about this one yet, but then again, we have. It's hard to preach any of these scriptures concerning missions without mentioning. But where did missions begin? Missions began in the heart of God. Missions began in the heart of God, as did every other teaching of the Scriptures. The first picture of missions in the Word of God, the first picture of missions is in the book of Genesis. Amen. Adam and Eve were the Garden of Eden was the first mission field. God Himself was the first missionary. The Garden of Eden was the first mission field, and Adam and Eve were the first missionary converts. When Adam and Eve sinned, God could have wiped them off the face of the earth and started all over. But you know what God did? Because God loved His creation, because God loved Adam and Eve, He loved them too much to let them die and go to hell without giving them a chance to be redeemed or to be saved. And so He left His home, went to their home, and offered them salvation in typology. And so there you go. There's missions. First place it's ever mentioned. The book of Genesis, the Garden of Eden. And not only that, but later on we see that in the New Testament that Jesus sent out the 12, and then He sent out the 70. And here in the Scriptures we read in Acts 13, we already mentioned, but this appears to be the first place in the Scriptures where the church sent out missionaries. And I think your preacher's been doing some preaching along the lines of, I'm not sure if he's been talking to you about the tragedy of missing missions, but he's been talking to you a little bit along the line how that God spoke to the church at Jerusalem to carry out His plan for all peoples and all nations, and he wanted the church at Jerusalem to spread out and take the gospel to every creature, and they did not do it. They spent their time I'm telling you something. As I think about this, it sounds so familiar, don't it? The church at Jerusalem spent all their time, seeming like, majoring on money, multitudes, and there was something else, money, multitudes, and miracles. Money, multitudes. Thank you, Peter. You read the same book, didn't you? Money, multitudes, and miracles. Amen. Do you know anybody doing that today? They're majoring on money, multitudes, miracles, money, crowds, and miracles. And I'm not against crowds. I wish every Bible-believing church was packed out and you had to have standing room only and they had to knock the walls out and build on and buy a piece of property. I'm all for that. But a lot of folks, it's just about nickels and noses, amen. It's about money and miracles and multitudes. That's what the church at Jerusalem majored on. But they focused all their efforts and attention on that. When God had said, go ye into all the world, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. So the church at Jerusalem failed in carrying out God's plan for this world. So God spoke to the church at Antioch, and it was the church at Antioch that sent forth these first missionaries, and they sent out Barnabas and Saul. And so I don't remember what question we was on, but the next one I'd like to talk about, why do missions continue? Why should missions continue? And why do missions continue? Very simply, the Great Commission has not changed. God still loves sinners too much to let them die and go to hell without sending the gospel to them, without sending someone to bring the good news of the gospel to them, that Christ died and was buried and rose again, and that whosoever will can be saved if they'll turn to God in the way that He's prescribed through faith and repentance. The Great Commission is still the same, so mission still needs to be going on just like it always did. That's why these guys were sent out to begin with, because the world was going to hell, and they're still going to hell tonight. So missions, but God has not changed. The Bible gives us many clear scriptures about that. The power of the gospel has not changed. It's still the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. It is the message of the Word of God, the gospel message. Amen. Once again, that Christ, where do we learn that Christ died and was buried and rose again? You know, I never heard that in all my life till somebody told it out of the Word of God. I never heard of a lot of things till someone showed them and told them out of the Word of God. But I look all through this Bible. If it's not being told and preached directly, it's being foreshadowed and typed. Amen. Christ is the Savior of the world, and the gospel is about Him, and we need to take the message of Him to others. That's why missions continues. God's not changed. The power of the gospel's not changed. And the condition of the lost world's not changed. The condition of the unbelievers has not changed. They are blind. Now, if I understand that term correctly, that means they cannot see. They can't see where they're going. They're blind and they're dead and they're helpless and hopeless, and unless the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them, that's why we must continue to give to missions, to pray for missionaries, to be a missionary wherever you might be, but also to help. And you know, I thought about this. Now, this is so overwhelming to me, but when I read, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," and you start breaking that down, and this whole thing's based on those two words, "go." And someone told Brother Blue one time, said, "I bet you could preach missions from Genesis 1. He said, "That's easy. In the beginning, God. The first two letters of God's G-O. Amen. Yeah. Anyway, "go ye." That word "ye" right there, you go to studying that. He wasn't just talking to His disciples, or else He would have used a different word. You say that's one of those old archaic King James words. Isn't it? Call it what you will, but a lot of that has a lot of meaning to it. And that word "ye," when you find it, it's all of you collectively. He's talking to every believer. "Go ye." And I'm saying this. Me? You talking to me? Yeah, I'm one of them. I'm one of God's collective people. I'm one of them ye's that He's talking to. "Go ye, you want me to go into all the world?" I can't do that. I'm one individual. Did he change his command because of that? No, he did not. It still says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Well, how can I do that? Well, I can pray for them that are able to go to other places that I cannot go. I can give to support them and help to meet their needs so that they can live and go to those places and be sustained. Amen. After Monday night there, I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but I know we're increasing our faith promise there at our home church. We'll have that in mission, March for Missions, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do with our church, but I'm excited to see what He's going to do with... I want to try to do something to reach those that I've never even gave a thought to, some of those people that He mentioned the other night, and some of those people He's going to be trying to reach. Now, I'm excited, amen, about trying to reach sinners I've never even given any thought to before. Amen. Well, I can't go myself. I can't speak those languages. I'm too dumb. Now, I don't want to say that. I don't want to limit God, because if God called me, I feel like I'm too dumb to learn. I ain't even got the English language down. I don't know if it'd be awful hard to try to learn some other language, but if God wanted, I'd do it. And yet, it happens every day that people go to language school, and this particular man is going to go learn many languages among the ones he's already learned. But God wants me to go to Egypt. God wants me to go to China. And God wants me to go to Korea. Well, I can't do that. You've got something for me to do here, Lord. Go ye into all the world, Egypt, China, Korea. Well, I better give and pray so that someone that has the capability and someone that can learn that language, someone that can make the proper investments to do what need to be done to reach them. I have a command to reach those people over there. God loves them. God don't want them to go to hell. My Bible tells me that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think our senators and representatives ought to hear the gospel if they hadn't heard the gospel, and those that's not believers, and all the other politicians, and all the lobbyists. I think all the folk up in Washington, D.C. needs to hear the gospel. Well, you think they'd give me the time of day? Some people in the South says I got an accent. That's bad. That's real bad. Imagine anywhere else in this world. I say I have an accent. You think I have an accent? I don't have an accent. I talk normal. I talk plain Southern language. They say, are you from way down in Georgia? I say, no, I'm from the upper Northwest. I said, man, you got an accent. I got an accent. I can't hear my accent. You think they would let me in the White House I could start telling you, I ain't got the right clothes to wear, and I ain't got the right language to speak, but you know what, I have an obligation to take the gospel to the politicians and the lobbyists and the senators and the vice president, the president. I have an obligation. Well, I guess I better get involved with somebody like Chuck Harding then, or somebody like the redheaded guy, Bobby Stewart, and I better give, amen, I better pray. God will open up a door. Hey, if God wants to put me up there, if He can bring somebody along to teach me the things I need to know and all the proper mannerisms and all that and school me in the right unaccented language or whatever it takes, I bet you some of them senators and representatives got an accent too. They from further south than I am. Amen. Well, let me move on. I got an obligation. You have an obligation. You're one of them ye's. I'm using me tonight, but I'm trying to keep from being so harsh and picking on you. But this is all meant for you too, my friend. God wants you to reach the folks in Washington. God wants you to reach the folks in Egypt. God wants you to reach the folks in China. Ye, go ye. That's for you too. He wrote that for you too. It's in plain print right here. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Missions continues. Missions carries on because the power of the gospel is not changed. God's love for sinners is not changed. The condition of the lost sinners is not changed. And so God still loves sinners too much to let them go to hell without giving them a chance to hear the gospel and be saved. Where's the mission field at? Where is the mission field at? We already covered this, but I like the way Brother Blue laid it out so plain and simply. The mission field's across the street, or it's the street you live on. It's across the state, and it's across the sea. There's a mission field on the street you live on. There's a mission field throughout your state and across your state, and there's many mission fields across the seas. The Bible speaks of it as the world. The field is the world. Amen. That's where the mission field's at. And there's a lot of scriptures we could look at. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already unto harvest. And so preacher mentioned the other night, what is a missions conference? What is a mission revival? What is a missions meeting? We were in a church a couple of months ago in Corinth, Mississippi, actually, and they called it messengers meeting. Amen, said messengers meeting. I don't know if they was trying to be more. I don't know what. That's what they called it, amen. They said that worked better. Said a lot of folks turned off by the term missions conference. So they changed it to messengers meeting or messengers conference. And a lot of folk thought that, well, that must be something different. A lot of them came and found out it was just a missions conference. But they got excited about it, though, amen, just because they changed the name. I don't know why. That's what they call it over there. They have an annual messengers meeting or messengers conference. But I preacher mentioned this, but I want to reemphasize it tonight. A missions meeting is the most important business meeting of this church this year. There's only one item that's going to be voted on, and it's not going to be voted by ballot, secret or non-secret. It's going to be voted on by, do you want sinners to go to hell or not? And if you don't want sinners to go to hell, are you going to put something in the offering plate to fulfill the go ye therefore into all nations, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature? Are you going to put some money in the plate, or are you not going to put some money in the plate? Are you going to start talking and thinking about some of these missionaries? Are you going to pray for them, and are you going to pray that if you can... Talking about prayer, I'm so thankful y'all's church is doing that. And I hope one of these days somebody mentions our name over there. He and Ava Grace, maybe you can mention our name along with somebody else's name. You say, why is that? I'd rather have people's prayers than I had their money, though we've got to have money, and it does a lot of things. Prayer can do some things that money cannot do, and I have seen with my own eyes churches that wanted to financially partner with us, but they just were strapped. I've got some churches right now that they want to partner with us, but they're not able to. But they say if something changes and something happens that we're not able to support some other missionary, and that becomes available. And some of those churches have came along, and one of their missionaries come off the field and came and had to pastor a church for health reasons, things like that. They put us in that slot and gave us that money. They wanted to keep it going forth for me. And you say, well, how's that possible? Let me tell you how that's possible. I've seen this, and I know this, and I don't even know the half of it, but churches that cannot do what they would like to do, but they can take that card and look at Rick and Renee Burnett and say, dear Lord, would you please, I'd like to have something to give them, I'd like to help them, but I'm not able, and you know that, Lord, but would you meet their needs? And sometimes on the other side of this country, God touches some pastor, some churches, or some family's heart. We got some people that are sending us support every month, and I've never met them. I've never laid eyes on them. Some other preacher, they came to another preacher, and they said, hey, I want to get involved in missions. What group of people or what organization can do you know of that we can help? And they had some money that they'd been laying aside. And so this preacher told him about Rock of Ages Ministries and said, you might want to get in touch with Brother Ricky Burnett. And so the preacher called me and said, hey, this man's a businessman, and him and his church, they want to do something for missions. And I told him about Rock of Ages Ministries. Said, you might want to send them a package or something, tell them something. And so I wrote a letter and sent the package, and it wasn't long, and they sent us a real large love offering, and they sent Rock of Ages Ministries a real large love offering. And it was just out of this world. President of Rock of Ages Ministry called me in his office, said, who are these people? I said, I don't know. What? And he said, they sent a large offering here. How are we supposed to use it? I said, I don't know. I said, they sent me one, they sent y'all one, and I don't know what to tell you. And he said, you're the one that has the connection with these people. And I had to explain it to him. I said, some pastor told him about us. I sent him some information, and they wanted to help our family, and they wanted to help the ministry. And the next month, they sent another gift, one to my family, one to Rock of Ages Ministries. I got called back in the office and said, what are we supposed to do with this money? And I said, well, he said, I'm asking. He said, it's such a large gift, and you're the one that brought this about. So I'm saying, what do you think we ought to do with it? And I said, you're asking the wrong person. I said, I'm not being disrespectful. I said, but you know, you're the president and I'm not for a reason. And I said, you will know what to do with this and where the needs are more than I will. And I said, God has put you in this position for such a time as this, so you do what you feel like the Lord would have you to do with it. And he said, I appreciate that. He said, I got some areas of our ministry that are really needing some help right now, and this will help them a whole lot. But he said, I didn't want to do it without asking you, because I didn't know if it was specified for the printing ministry or for a paper for the print shop or what. And I said, well, I appreciate you asking me. I said, but you're the president for a reason, so you work it out with the Lord. Amen. And we was able to help some different departments. I've never met these people. I tried to make contact with them. They seemed to, get around at a time or two and all that. I don't understand the situation myself, but I sure am thankful for them. And they have helped us every month, ever since then, and that's been going on. And that's only one of many situations we could tell you about. Why is that? Why would people who do not really know you and have never met you, they've never heard my testimony before, it, for whatever reason, they took the word of this pastor? I'll tell you why. Because somebody took our prayer card, or somebody mentioned us on prayer meeting night and said, could we pray especially for the Burnett family tonight? And somebody that could get a prayer through to God said, Lord, would you please meet Brother Rick and Miss Renee's needs and watch over them while they travel and continue to open doors? And God said, yep, I'll do that. And he went over here and touched somebody's heart and said, the Burnetts has got needs. They prayed for their need to be met. They can't meet them. These people can't. I'll just touch their heart to meet them. He does that same thing with leaders and rulers and kings. Now, I believe I read that in the Word of God. I've been too long tonight. I apologize for that, but I'm having a good time. I'm about out of questions here, all right? And I don't even know which one we're on now. I'm too excited to see my notes. Besides that, now my clock's in front of me. Oh, man, it's bedtime. Remember, I live in Georgia. The time zone's different. It's bedtime over there almost. Just a few more minutes to be bedtime. You say, well, I can't stay past a certain hour. I mean, the time comes, you just fall off naturally. Normally, it just happens. But I got to move on. I think I'm out of questions anyway. There's many more that could be asked, but that's Missions 101. That's the basics of things that we ought to understand as God's children. And there's so much more, and there's a lot more to add to it. And that's just the beginning, and there's many things to be built on to that. Maybe we'll try to do that in the next couple of nights or next couple of services. But thank you so much for your attention. Let me say this tonight in closing. I'm going to do you just like that old preacher did me, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. But if you're here not saved tonight, if you die that way, you're going to wind up in hell. But you don't have to go to hell. God don't want you to go to hell. We mentioned the Scriptures. He's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Jesus Christ died for you and was buried for you and rose again for you. He shed His blood to save you tonight. All you got to do is trust in that. The Bible said if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Ask my son Joshua. You can text him or call him if you want to, or mail him if you want to. I'll give you the information. Ask my son if Romans 10:13 works. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask him if it works. Let's see, 20 years now. Next year will be 20 years ago it worked for him. He'll say, well, it's worked for 20 years. And he'll say, I'm still trusting in it. He read it. He said, I'm going to try it. He tried it. It worked. He said it worked. It changed him. And it's keeping him changed, keeping him on the right track. Now he's just going out spending his life trying to tell other people, if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you can be saved. It works. And he adds a few other things in with it, but thank God for the gospel, and I'm so thankful that I was a mission field one day, and we testified last night, but I'm so thankful that God sends people to plant seeds and others to water seeds, and He gives the increase to His glory. And I don't understand. I didn't mention this last night, and I don't mean any disrespect to my family, but there was Mom, Dad, And by the way, you had a mom and dad too. I don't have to tell you that, but I get on that. But every one of you had a mama and a daddy. None of you got here with two mamas. None of you got here with two daddies. You say, what'd you tell us that for? I hope you'll go tell everybody else I said that. That you can tell them, you can say, Brother Ricky said you got here with a mama and a daddy. Somebody needs to say it, don't they? I had a mom and a dad and three siblings, so four children, six people living in my household. And you say, why do you serve with Rock of Ages Ministries? Why do you try to go into jails and prisons? And why do you try to go into schools to keep people out of jails and prisons? I mean, some people say if they're bad, they're bad, and they're going to be bad. No. That's not true. You know why I go to jails and prisons? Because the word whosoever, I think, is found. I believe it's, I can't remember the number. I think 163 times the word whosoever. I can look it up. I may be wrong on the last match service. I got a note here somewhere. The word whosoever is found there over and over and over and over again. And last time I checked, people in jail and prison and school and wherever are a whosoever. They are one of those that God don't want. You know, just because a person in prison, it's still in the Bible. God don't want them to perish. He's not willing that any should perish. Just because they're living the wrong kind of life, they're going to wind up in prison. You say, y'all let them go. Can I tell you something? No disrespect meant, but you probably don't even need to know this, but I just got it on my mind. Out of the six people living in my household, one of them has never spent time behind bars in a jail or prison. I don't know if that's why God put me in this kind of ministry. I don't know. I don't understand all that. And it's almost like in God's sense of humor, He says, Ricky Burnett, you might be the only one out of that six that ain't spent time in jail or prison, but you ain't leaving this earth without spending time in jail or prison. Amen. And now I spend much time in jails and prisons. I don't know. But I like it, thank God. I love preaching in jails and prisons and schools and wherever God opens the door at. But I love trying to enlighten young people to the fact that God loves them and that they don't have to continue going down the road that they're going down. They can give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, who can change them from the inside out, give them a life worth living, and they can affect people wants to make a name for themselves or do something that people won't forget. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to make a name for myself, but I'm trying to do something that's going to matter throughout eternity. Amen. Amen. I better pray, I guess. I've done gone blank, and I guess I'm getting too tired, getting too close to bedtime, but I'm going blank, so I better pray. But if you're not saved, why don't you be saved tonight? And if you are saved and you are a child of God, take heed to what the Lord's trying to tell you tonight. You have a responsibility to take the gospel to every creature, to go into all the world and teach all nations the things that Jesus has gave us to teach them. Lord, thank you for the precious word of God. It just always challenges us and amazes us. And I mean, maybe everybody else understood all these things tonight, but I'm so thankful you preached to me tonight, Lord. You spoke to my heart. You have dealt with me. And I pray that you'd use these things that's been said to speak to someone else's heart and help them to do what they need to do to make the proper adjustments in their life and line them up with the Word of God. And God, please help us to never get over the importance of carrying out this command that you've given us. And many feel, and Lord, the lot of things seem to be telling us it's very possible, and we know it's very possible, it has been for a long time, that this old world may not be here much longer. And we don't know that we'll live to see tomorrow, but I pray that you'd help us to be busy praying for the lost, loving them, witnessing to them. Lord, help us to be brave enough to invite them to the house of God. Lord, the preacher mentioned tonight, help us to get them to make a commitment to come with us to the house of God. I've seen that work myself in people's lives. I knew if I could just get them to your house and get them under the preaching of your word that you could do the rest. And I've seen you do it many times. God, help us to do that, to reach out and touch somebody's life for your glory. If there is one here not saved tonight, speak to their heart, draw them to yourself, save them by your grace. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray, amen.